Today, we want to explore one of the three occultisms known as hygienic occultism. This hygienic occultism is to be developed through Central Europe, while a eugenic occultism is to be developed in the East, meaning in Steiner's time from Russia to India. Our Mystech conferences have had R.A. Torreson bring his work on occult, hygienic occultism. And today we're thrilled to have Mika Mossmuller to deepen our understanding of this subject. The title of her talk, Progressing Towards Hygienic Occultism, correctly points out that work on this occultism is just beginning. She wrote, and you saw in the intro, Aristotle, in his Metaphysics, made a wonderful statement about this. The form by which the physician treats the patient is health. So the physician should carry within him a living concept of health in order to cure with it. Mika Mossmuller studied medicine at the University of Amsterdam and practiced as a doctor for over 25 years. Working with illness and death raised questions for her. Questions about the nature of life, for example. Since 1994, she has been writing about the spiritualization of intelligence. Her first book, Seek the Light That Rises in the West, lays the philosophical foundation for her later novels and also her books on spirituality, such as Posthumanism and Singularity. With this artistic approach, Mika, as an author, has brought anthroposophy to many thousands. And by the way, her books are available at the Rudolf Steiner Bookstore in Seattle, and as well as other bookstores. With the well-known Dutch comic and cabaret artist and poet Toon Hermans, she wrote Just God. She has published more than 60 books, most of which have been translated into German, some into English, some into Danish, and some into French. She has given lectures and workshops in the Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, Denmark, Switzerland, and France. And now we want to welcome her here to the United States and to our worldwide Mystech audience. Thank you, Mika, for being here. And so now I turn this over to you.
Thank you, Andrew. Do you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Yes. Yes, I want to talk to you about the hygienic occultism, and of course it is only little that Rudolf Steiner has said about that. He spoke about the three occultisms in the time of the end of the World War One, and well, as far as I know, it are only two or three lectures, and not even fully. He didn't speak in these lectures only about the occultisms, but mentioned them, and so it is really a task for us to develop the concept of these three occultisms ourselves. Then we can't find much information by in the books of Rudolf Steiner. So you in the United States are living in a country that will be in the future the place where the people will be born with the capability of a mechanical occultism. And Mystech as far as I understand it, gives the attention to this team, and I think also the possibilities to try out what is possible yet with this mechanical occultism. But it is clear that in our time, this occultism is not yet a capability with which we are born, you in America. It is the occultism of the West. I don't live in the West. I don't live in the East. I live in the middle. I was born in Amsterdam, and I lived most of my working life south of the Rhine. Rudolf Steiner says the hygienic occultism will also be inborn, innate, in future. And the land or the place where the people will live will be east of the Rhine until Asia. So I live actually not really in this area that he points to, but almost south of the Rhine I have lived, and near to the Rhine also. But the hygienic occultism is not yet so far developed that we as people of our time could hope that we have this capability in ourselves by birth. But Rudolf Steiner says it will not be so very long, and then this will become the case. And in the meantime, it is possible to develop actively with will some aspects of this hygienic occultism. That is, of course, a very interesting theme. And you ask yourself, I ask myself, what does he actually mean with hygienic occultism? He gives a few words to it. He says that in future, the human being will be able to bring harmony in his organization by own activity. And then a doctor is not needed anymore. Only when fate brings illness, then the doctor is still be needed, and it will be so that as it is now also, that healing illnesses that are there through fate is very, very difficult. So hygienic occultism should give us the possibility to work to bring harmony in our own organization. And if you have these sentences from Rudolf Steiner, you ask yourself, what will it be then? What can we do? And thinking about that and experiencing my task as a medical doctor, I must say, actually, the whole anthroposophy is a hygienic occultism. Everywhere where the path is pointed out, when we learn how to proceed to attain knowledge in the higher worlds. Everywhere there, we find actually the hygienic occultism. And I will try to point to a few of these steps that we can make already now to the hygienic occultism. In the future, this will be inborn, and then it will be specifically for the European people that they have this possibility from spiritual nature. Let me say it that way. In the far west, it will be possible to attain this ability in the same way as we in Europe and in the whole world can try to attain it in this moment already. So in America, this capability will not be inborn, but it will be possible to attain it. Rudolf Steiner didn't speak with the words hygienic occultism before, I think, 1918. But in his early work, he talked about the forces, the power that will bring this possibility of hygienic occultism to us. And that is the same power as will be used in the West for the mechanical occultism. It's just another part of this same power. And in the early works, Rudolf Steiner calls it vril. And vril is a force or a power that make the plants grow. He tells us that the Atlantean people had the power of vril and were able to let the plants grow and also to make motors or vehicles start with this power. And that he says everything that was will come back in time. And in the West, this will be the mechanical occultism. In the middle, it will be the hygienic occultism, but this will also be the mastering of this mysterious power of vril. And it is, I think, very important to make the difference, to distinguish between the vril forces at the other hand, at the one hand, and at the other hand, the forces of the under nature, the forces of the electricity, the magnetism, and the nuclear force. It could be that it gets intermingled, and that would be a disaster. So one of the tasks that we have in the whole world is to distinguish the several layers that we find in nature, the elements, in under nature, electricity, magnetism, and nuclear force, and then supernatural, the etheric forces that are the forces that make the plant grow. And that is very important that we learn to feel that there is a difference between the high supernatural forces that make the plants grow, and the lower undernatural forces that we know so well in our technique. So I brought a few quotes for you to make this fundament, this basis for what we call the occultisms, the three occultisms, more clear in so far as it is not already very clear to you. I know the quote in the Gesamtausgabe 130, which is the Esoteric Christianity in 1911. There is a lecture about the etherization of the blood. And after this lecture, there is a questioning. And Rudolf Steiner says, "There are in the world a number of substances that can combine with or separate from each other. What we call chemical action is projected into the physical world from the world of Devakan, the realm of the harmony of the spheres. In the union of two substances, according to their atomic weights, we have a shadowing of two tones of the harmony of the spheres. The chemical affinity between two substances in the physical world is like a shadowing from the world of the harmony of the spheres. The numerical ratios in chemistry are really an expression of the numerical ratios of the harmony of the spheres, which has become dumb and silent owing to the densification of matter. If one were able actually to bring material substance into etheric dilution and to perceive the atomic numbers as the inner formative principle, one would hear the harmony of the spheres. We have the physical world, the astral world, the lower Devagan, and the higher Devagan. If one thrusts the body down even lower than the physical world, one comes into the subphysical world, the lower astral world, the lower or evil lower Devagan, and the lower or evil higher Devagan. The evil astral world is the province of Ahriman, and the evil higher Devakan, the province of the Asuras. If one drives chemical action down beneath the physical plane into the evil Devanagak world, magnetism arises. If one thrusts light down into the submaterial, that is to say, a stage deeper than the material world electricity, then electricity arises. If what lives in the harmony of the spheres is thrust down farther still into the province of the Asuras, an even more terrible force, which it will not be possible to keep hidden very much longer, is generated. One can only hope that when this force comes, a force we must conceive as being far, far stronger than the most violent electrical discharge, one can only hope that before some discoverer gives this force into the hands of humanity, human beings will no longer have anything immoral left in them." Well, we know this third force. We know that it is the nuclear force. And I have once heard someone think that the third force is vril, and that is a severe mistake. That's clear, I think. Vril is also called a force of love. So it can never be this nuclear force. And Rudolf Steiner points out clearly that the vril is a power that is not belong to supernatural world. In 94, in the lectures about the occult truths of old myths and legends, which are not translated in English, he says, the Chinese are a remnant of the Mongolian Atlantean race. When we hear the word Tao among the Chinese, it is something difficult for us to understand. The Mongols of that time had developed a monotheism that went as far as psychic tangibility, as far as feeling the spiritual. And when the old Chinese, the old Mongolian, pronounced the word Tao, he felt that when he pronounced it. Tao is not the way, as it is usually translated. It is the basic power by which the Atlantean could still transform the plants, by which he could set his strange airships in motion. This basic power, which is also called Vril, was used by the Atlantean everywhere, and he called it his god. He felt this power in himself. It was the way and the goal for him. Therefore, every Mongol saw himself as a tool in the hand of the great Vril power. And then about the concept of Vril in the books of Edward Bulwer Lytton. Rudolf Steiner said in 1906, also not in English translated, everything that used to exist in the world is coming back. The Vril power is based on something special. Now man can actually use only the forces of mineral nature. Gravity is mineral, electricity is also mineral. We owe the operation of railroads to hard coal. But what man does not yet know how to use is the power of plants. The power that makes the stalks in a grain field grow is still a latent power, and man will force it into his service just as he forces the power of hard coal. This is Vril. It is the same power that the fakirs still use. They live in atavism, ancestral state of feet, ancestral state feature. And then finally, in 94, in the temple legend, he speaks about the Vril, about the force that makes the plant grow as royal art. And he says this royal art has been inaugurated in the symbol of the Holy Grail. So in the beginning of the work of Rudolf Steiner, he spoke about this force, and he spoke also about this force when he spoke about it not only in a mechanical way. This, what he says about the Holy Grail, is already tending to the hygienic occultism. You know, of course, that later, very much later, Rudolf Steiner has asked Günther Wachsmuth to translate the novel of Edward Bulwer Lytton in German, because he found this novel very important to know about. We must not think that it's the importance that Rudolf Steiner gave it, that it is also that he says that it is all true and very important in a true way, but The vril is described there. Very impressive. So that is a book that we all should lease, read, not just as the book, the other books are known. About the mechanical occultism, there is so rather much to know, not about the hygienic occultism. Only when we know what it is, we see that it was spoken about in the whole work of Rudolf Steiner, and of course, especially in the work for the doctors, the medical lectures he gave. When we focus then on the hygienic occultism, we can ask ourselves the question, what then can we do in our time to make a progress to this hygienic occultism? What is it that we could develop to find a way to bring harmony in our own organization at first? And I found out, or I don't know how to say it, that the first step we have to make is that we gain consciousness of the several sheets of our organization, of the consciousness of the physical body, of the etheric body, of the astral body, of the eye, and when possible, also of the higher members of our being. And Rudolf Steiner gave the way to this becoming conscious. Of course, we have our physical body, and from our natural consciousness, we think that's all there is. And we think that what we call I, what we call myself, that is the same as my physical body. We, as anthroposophists, have developed more than that insight. But in our time, it is normal that we experience our physical body as the one that is real, and whether there are other members in our being, we can doubt it. But when we start developing our thinking and we put will in our thinking, we learn to think so vigorously, so forceful, that we put the one thought with will in connection to the next thought, then at last it will be so that the thinking in itself will become tangible. I use the name of the same word that Rudolf Steiner uses for the speech of the Atlantean. When they said Tao, it was tangible, he says. That is not what we can achieve now, but we can achieve that our thoughts become tangible, not for another one, not for our neighbor, but for ourselves. That it is not that shadowy area anymore that we know as our thoughts, but that it becomes a clear, real being with the thoughts in it as living thoughts. And if we achieve that point of development, we will admit that what we found is the real experience of the etheric body. We know that in the first 7 years of our lives, the child uses all the etheric forces for the development of the physical body. And when the teeth change, then comes the moment that a part of the etheric body will become available for the thinking, first for remembering, and then evermore for thinking and conceiving, understanding. This part of the etheric body becomes tangible if we develop our thinking. And so we have two members of our organization that we have in consciousness, that is the heavy physical body, and that is the light etherical body. And then there is someone who does the work, and that is clear enough when we do this thought exercises. We know that it is I who does that. So if this thinking becomes tangible, my self, my will, my I also becomes tangible. Ever more and more, I know that that is I, and I know that this being that I am, that this being is not the same as my physical body, that it is possible for my I to have been before my physical body was there, and after it vanishes, that my I also still will be there. And I know that for sure, because in my meditation, in my exercises, I feel my body as a strange object outward from me, and I feel that I can live as a willing I, an I that works on thoughts, that this I can live without a body. So then I have three of the members of my organization. And then I have a consciousness. I know that all. There is a being that wills this all, but there is also a consciousness. And there is a whole world of thoughts, rememberings, wishes, longings, and so forth, that I don't want to have when I do my exercises. And in the course of my exercising, I discover that this field of consciousness is my astral body. And then I have four. And I don't have them as concepts anymore. I have them as tangible realities. And when I have them as tangible realities, it becomes possible for me to manage with them, to master them. That's a bit too much said. Master is too much, but on the way to mastering. And then when we have some knowledge about the anthroposophical medicine, we know what the hygienic occultism will be. And Rudolf Steiner gave a saying, It is a saying originally from Eliphaz Levi. He adjusted it a bit, only a bit. And it sounds like this. In you lives the human being that beholds God face to face, that is eternal and is in the circle of the seven great spirits. It is above anything that is angry or fearful in you. It rules with the forces of the upper world, and the forces of the lower world serve it. It controls its own life and health and can do the same with others. Nothing can surprise it. It cannot be beset by misfortune. It cannot be confused and cannot be overcome. It knows the essence of the past, the present, and the future, and it holds the secret of awakening from death and immortality in possession. That is music for the future, of course, but it is also poetic definition of the hygienic occultism. If we come so far that we master ourselves so that we can live in the supernatural area of our being, then we find this human being with capitals that beholds God face to face, and that will have these abilities that can really master illness and also death. And then Rudolf Steiner gave another lecture. He gave a series of lectures after the fire of the Goetheanum. It was 1923, January, February, and so to speak, the smoke was still going up, and he went on with giving lectures. And the first things he said was that we can only be true anthroposophists if we bring so much will in our thinking that our thinking becomes a living thinking. And he even goes so far there that he says that we shouldn't speak about anthroposophy in public if we don't have developed this ability to living thinking. These are a few lectures, again, not translated in English. And then comes a lecture that is translated in English, and it seems, it looks like a totally other subject, for he starts to speak about a medical subject, and he speaks about the invisible human being in the visible human being. But when we look at this lecture and experience what it has to say, we can certainly see it as following the lectures about the will in thinking and the living thinking. Then here, Rudolf Steiner gives the tools in our hands for a hygienic occultism. He speaks about a higher being that is still there during the gravity, is that the word? When the child is developing in the sheets in the belly of the mother. Then the child is being born and lives on for a few years, still with this being with him. But the physical body of this higher being is destructed in parturition. Then it are the sheets, the yolk sac, the amnion, the chorion, and so on. The higher being lives on, and it is invisible. And it has development qualities, but it also has during the whole life, forth going, working in the physical body. And it is a complicated process, but at the other hand, actually not complicated, because Rudolf Steiner points out that this higher being enters the body after it went through the astral body, the etheric body, and the physical system, enters then the digestive channel, then the blood, and so also the brain with the blood. That's the one stream. The other stream comes directly into the body, also not through the astral body, the etheric body, and so on, but it comes through the nerve system direct, immediately. And because when the higher being is coming immediately in the physical being that is always destructive, therefore, this force destructs, breaks down the physical body. But the healing quality comes from the other side. The higher being has come through the other layers and has a healing force with him. So two streams meet each other, a destructive stream, a direct working from the higher being through the nerve system, and an indirect working of the higher being via the blood. Blood and nerve meet each other. Nerve is ill making, blood is healing. Then there are two other streams, and they meet in the respiration and in the pulse rhythm. The respiration breaks down, the pulse rhythm builds. And in the heart lung beat, the Herzenslungenschlag, there is the meeting of the breaking down through respiration and the healing of the pulse rhythm. And between them, there is the health living. You should, if you want, read this lecture. It is translated in English, and it is a wonderful lecture when you want to know more about the hygienic occultism. And then Rudolf Steiner gave in his book, The Way to the Higher Worlds, How to Attain Knowing of the Higher Worlds, this exercise that you concentrate on growing and flowering plants, and at the other side on withering plants. If you do that, you get experience with breaking down forces and building up forces, and you need them if you want to get an idea of this hygienic occultism. Then came 1924, and Rudolf Steiner gave a course for the young doctors. And in this course, he gave a real sack of gold to them to make the diagnosis and to treat patients, but also to treat him or herself. Because he pointed out that when you understand the remedies you use really well, they stop working for you, because the breaking down forces of your understanding make the working of the remedies impossible. Now, is that not something that will happen soon, because we don't understand fully the remedies? But it has another side. He also said that the doctor must come so far in his moral development that he will resign, that he will not take these remedies anymore. He will only give them to the patients and not anymore to himself. So then you need another healing possibility. And that was given in another verse. See in thy soul the power of radiance. Feel in the body might of heaviness. In power of radiance, raise the spirit eye. In might of heaviness, God spirit dwells. Yet shall not power of radiance lay hold of might of heaviness, nor may might of heaviness permeate power of radiance. For when power of radiance seizes might of heaviness, and when might of heaviness enters power of radiance, then in world confusion, soul and body bind each other unto perdition. I have meditated this verse for a very long time and still do that. And I cannot find the translation a good one. But this is what Rudolf Steiner gave in German, of course. And this is a tool for the hygienic occultism to keep your sheets of your being in the right order to each other. That is what I wanted to say in progress to a hygienic occultism. It is not a full story, of course. I could only tip here and there something, but I think I took the most important part of it.
Well, thank you so much.
The last sentence, sorry. If you want to practice this development of hygienic occultism, then you must seek the light that rises in the West. Thank you.
Mika, we had a question as you were speaking about Edward Bulwer's Leighton's book, the title of the book that you were referencing, that Voxmuth translated.
The Coming Race.
The Coming Race.
Yes.
Okay. And let's take questions now from people, if you want to ask anything from this, okay. So in this course for young doctors, you mentioned that there was an English translation and you weren't so thrilled with this translation. Could you say more about that to help us understand what we can get more out of this, these lectures? And by the way, I put a link to those in the chat to on RS Archive for the Young Doctors course.
Yes, I was surprised to read the translation because there is I read it so as it is given in the English translation, but if you say, see in thy soul power of radiance, that is not what is said in the German text, because there we are evoked to not to see, but to more to behold, and not to see power of radiance, but it is Leuchtekraft. It is light force, which is something else as radiance power of radiance. And we know that there was a school in the 18th or 19th century with an initiate still, who let his pupils stand in a six star, his the arms high up, but the head is the top of the figure, and the hands are the two other tops. I don't know the, and then the legs are two more points, and then you also stand with your legs wide, and then the sixth point is in the middle on the ground, and then you have a six star, and there Rudolf Steiner says the triangle that points upwards was the triangle of light, but not only light in the sense of radiance, but also light in the sense of not heavy, so light. Light streams upwards, it's said there. And yes, that. And so the power of radiance is not a good translation of Leuchtekraft, light force. And it's also the case that in the meditations, Rudolf Steiner always gives might, or no, not might, macht for the will, and kraft for the soul, for the feeling. So you cannot say power when you speak about the soul. The soul is kraft, not macht. And so it goes on. But this is the most severe problem, I think. The other things, one can accept them, but this is a hindrance. If you meditate it and you become the picture of the power of radiance, it's the eye, not the eye, but the self that has the power of radiance. And the soul in which this I rays is not a power of radiance, but a light force.
Yeah.
Or something better, perhaps in English, but it must mean that.
As you know, in John's prologue, John's gospel, it says, In him, life is, and life is the light of human beings. And I wonder if you might comment on that and what you're saying about this radiance or this light of the soul. Is it in the living thinking that you brought in?
In the prologue, you could maybe find that it is the sunlight radiance that the light has there. But in the human being as it is now, the heaviness and the light are two extremes, and it is not only darkness and light, but it is also heaviness and light, and it's another light. So I think that in the prologue, it is more the power of radiance, actually. But in this seeing, not. It is and light, shining light, and it is light, as an extreme against heaviness.
Yeah. Might you have a comment? I'm part of the natural science section, and as far as I know, I don't know of any scientist who has taken Steiner's thoughts on light and electricity and supernature and subnature all the way to completion. That what is the real nature of light? And you were hinting at a number of lectures where he speaks about sunlight as being something quite different than physical light. It's etheric. And so you talked about growth and plants and these things that the sunlight has spiritual capacities in it that just physical light does not have. And yeah, so I don't know if you want to say anything about light itself or sunlight. How is it different, perhaps, than physical light? Or
what do you mean with physical light, electrical light?
Or... Yeah, electrical lights. Yeah, or what scientists study today are lasers because it's monochromatic. And it makes their studies much easier. But are they actually studying light, or are they studying physical light or subphysical light even?
Yes, the etheric light is the light as the sun has light, but it is also the light of understanding. Mm. And that is in the prologue. Of course, very clearly said. In the second part, if there is said the light that enlightens everyone, if I don't know the English.
The light shines in the darkness and the darkness comprehends it not. Yeah.
That's the first. That's the first. And then the second part, there is that the light was incarnated and enlightens everyone, something like that.
Yeah. This question's from Rosemary. She asks, in the temple legend, Steiner said, the royal art of the future will be a social art. Dedicated groups of people will be working together to discover and become skilled in creating harmony of their sheaths. I think she's asking that as a question. Will that be the case in the future?
Yes, that is actually what he says in this. I didn't read it because I thought it will take too much time, but He says, for the great evil that exists in the world today, the immense misery that is expressed with such terrible violence in what is called the social question, can no longer be mastered with the inanimate. For this, a royal art is needed, and it is this royal art which has been inaugurated in the symbol of the Holy Grail. One must get into his hand something similar to that power which sprouts in the plant, that power which the magician uses when he makes the plant which stands before him grow faster. So, and he actually says that this same power will in future help us to find the healthy social system and the healthy and moral interaction between people.
Okay. I'm going to have Charlie Robinson. I'm allowing you to talk so you can ask your question. Charlie, you have to unmute yourself. There we go.
So you've mentioned about the sprouting of like life. But then you also mentioned in the knowledge of the higher worlds meditations that there's also a fading or decaying as well as part of the processes of the like cosmos and the earth. So where are they to be applied for hygienic occultism? How to use the decaying forces?
Yes, it's the question that you should recognize them in yourself, these sprouting and decaying forces. For instance, if you are sitting long at your laptop, as I do now, I feel that my sprouting forces are withering enormously. And I look for a way to regenerate them so that I don't have to lie down and go to sleep or something like that. But that would be hygienic occultism. If you know that when you, after you have worked at the computer, you think over with the help of the activity of yourself, your eye, you think over again what you have done, you will feel that your forces come back. That is hygienic occultism. But at first, you must learn to experience, to feel that these forces are at work in you.
Okay, thank you. I'm John Fraser. I'm going to allow you to talk. You're muted. If you want to ask, you were saying what lectures is she referring to, and I don't know what part of her talk you were meaning. So, John, could you ask it now?
I can give them all.
Well, how about if John asks which one from what part of your talk he's referring to? John, are you?
I don't understand.
I think we lost him already. I think John Fraser had a question about what lecture, but he didn't. It wasn't clear what part of your talk he was asking about. Most of these you did give the GA number. So, okay. I don't see any more questions at the moment. So I think we can, let's see if there's anyone here, attendee. Got another. Oh, John, I see you up here. Let me try again. Ask to unmute. John, are you there? John Fraser.
I see you.
Yeah, you have to unmute, John. We see you, but can you unmute, John, and ask your question? No, I guess not. So with that, then, I guess we can wrap up. We're a little over our hour, but I want to express my gratitude for you joining us, Mika. And
I can see it now.
Oh, there he is. John, hello.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's a real problem with Zoom that I couldn't find how to unmute on this particular. The microphone symbol does not come up at the bottom. So anyway, okay, I'm here. Now, I just wanted you to send an email, Andrew, of the lectures that she's relating to in this talk. If you could send out an email of that, that would be great.
Well, she'd have to send those to me to forward then to those. But I did put a couple of those that she mentioned into the chat. If you have the chat, you could copy from them right now.
Okay, can you tell me what they are? If that's possible.
Well, one was GA 211. It's called The Invisible Man Within Us.
Okay. 211.
211. And then Young Doctors. I don't have the GA here, but it's from December of
1920. Shall I say it?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure, go ahead.
Number 92, 93, and 97.
Okay, great. And 211.
211. And then, of course, 316 is for the Young Doctors. And
I can't read all this stuff. Sorry. I can't read anything. 92, 93, 97, 211, and
316. 316 is the last one, she said.
316. Okay, I'll do my best. Thank you.